Welcome back. In this lesson, we're rebuilding an Amen-style sampler rack in Ableton Live 12, and we're aiming for something way more useful than just a loop on repeat. We want a rack that can drive a proper drum and bass drop, switch between roller control and jungle energy, and hit hard enough to feel rewind-worthy. The big idea here is simple. The Amen break is iconic because it already has movement, grit, and attitude built in. But in a real track, especially in DNB, you need control. You need to shape the groove around the bass line, keep the low end clean, and make sure the break evolves every few bars instead of just sitting there unchanged. So we're going to rebuild it as a flexible drum rack system, using only stock Ableton devices. Start with a fresh MIDI track and load a drum rack. Then bring your Amen break into the rack. If it's a full loop, slice it into individual hits, so you can work with the break more like an instrument than a static sample. Ableton's slice workflow is perfect for this. If you want more natural jungle movement, slice by transients. If you want tighter modern control, a strict rhythmic slice grid like 1/16 can work well too. Once the slices are in place, label your pads clearly. Kick, snare, hats, ghosts, fills, reverse. That kind of organization saves you a lot of time later when the arrangement starts moving fast. Now, don't treat every slice the same. That's one of the most important habits in this lesson. Think in layers of impact, not just drum hits. Your main kick and snare should have one job. Your ghost notes should have another. Your texture and dirt layer should have another. If everything is trying to do the same thing, the rack gets busy instead of powerful. A really effective approach is to build separate chains or pads for the main kick slices, the main snare slices, the hat and shaker material, the ghost notes and tails, and a few special slices for reverse hits or fills. If the original Amen is too messy in the low-mid area, reinforce it with a cleaner kick or snare one shot underneath. Keep that layer subtle. You're not replacing the break, you're supporting it. For the pad processing, start shaping each slice like a real drum source. On the kick, use EQ8 to remove any unnecessary top-end fuzz if needed. On the snare, a small boost around the low body area and a bit of presence in the upper mids can help it cut through a dense bass line. Just be careful not to overdo it. The Amen's charm comes from its imperfect texture. If you polish it too much, you lose the personality. You can also use drum bus on the individual pads or on the drum group. Keep the settings moderate. A little drive, a little crunch, and very careful control of boom is usually enough. If a slice feels too spiky, use a compressor or glue compressor with a fast attack and medium release to tame the transient without flattening the life out of it. In DNB mixing, this is a balancing act. You want control, but you do not want to turn the break into something sterile. Now let's add a parallel dirt chain. This is where the rack starts to feel dangerous in a good way. Create a return track or a parallel chain inside the drum rack and send selected break material into it. Use saturator, overdrive, auto filter, and utility to make it nasty but controlled. A great trick is to band limit that dirt. High pass it so it doesn't fight the sub. Low pass it so it doesn't spray harsh fizz everywhere. That way you get aggression in the mids without muddying the foundation. This parallel layer is huge for a rewind-worthy drop. It gives the break extra bite and density without making the core groove blurry. The listener feels more energy, but the mix stays readable. That's what we want. Next, write the MIDI pattern. Don't just loop the original break straight through. Build a phrase around the bass line. In DNB, the drums and bass have to respect each other's space. If they collide at the wrong moments, the groove loses punch. So try thinking in 2-bar or 4-bar cycles. Let bar 1 establish the main Amen character. Use bar 2 for a small fill, a ghost note push, or a reverse slice into the next phrase. Then vary it again in bars 3 and 4. The goal is to make the rack feel performed, not programmed. This is especially important if the bass line is a rolling reese. You don't want the kick and the sub owning the exact same moment every time. Let the bass speak. Let some ghost notes imply motion instead of filling every gap. A drum rack that leaves room often hits harder than one that constantly talks. A really useful intermediate trick is velocity. Use it like arrangement. Softer notes can make the pattern feel human and stop it from becoming a flat grid. Push only the accents that need real impact. A tiny timing offset can also do a lot. Nudge some ghost hits slightly late if you want drag, or slightly early if you want urgency. These small moves often matter more than adding more processing. Now let's map some macros. This is where the rack becomes performance ready. Put important controls on macro knobs so you can shape the whole feel in real time. Good macro targets include the drum bus drive, the saturator drive on the dirt chain, an auto filter cutoff for sweeps, pad volume for brake lift, and maybe utility width on the top layer only. Once those are mapped, automate them across 8 or 16 bars. For example, keep the intro filtered down, then open the top end as you approach the drop. Nudge the dirt up slightly when the drop lands. Bring in a new amen variation around bar 9 or bar 17 so the section evolves. That kind of subtle change keeps the drop moving forward. In jungle and roller music, that forward motion is everything. After that, group the drum rack output into a drum bus and treat the whole kit as one unit. This is where you get the final glue. Use EQ8 to clean out sub-rumble below the useful range. Add a glue compressor, but only let it take off a couple dB at most. You want cohesion, not squash. Then use drum bus carefully for a little transient edge and harmonic glue. This is the stage where the amen stops sounding like separate hits and starts sounding like a real section. And don't forget mono discipline. That's huge in this style. Use utility to check your low end in mono. Keep anything below about 120 Hz under control. If the break has wide stereo junk in the bottom, clean it up. If the room tone is fighting the bass, reduce it instead of just boosting the bass harder. In dark DNB, the groove has to survive mono. If it collapses when summed down, the weight is coming from width or phase, not from actual solid arrangement. Now for the fun part. The rewind moments. The amen really shines when it mutates. Build at least one fill per 8 bars using stutters, reverse hits, or short dropouts. A great move is to strip the kick for half a bar, let the ghosts and snare tails breathe, then slam a reverse fill into the next phrase. That creates tension without needing a giant riser. It feels deliberate, like the track is breathing. You can also automate a quick level dip on the drum bus right before the return. Then bring the full rack back and with a stronger slice pattern or a dirtier version of the same groove. That's the kind of move that gets heads turning on the floor. Once the rack is working, commit to audio. Freeze it, flatten it, resample your favorite 4 or 8 bar version, and cut that into usable pieces. This makes the track easier to arrange and mix, and it helps you lock in decisions instead of endlessly tweaking. Keep the original rack too, but don't rely on it forever. Resampling gives you something you can actually place in the arrangement like a proper production element. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, don't keep the amen too loud. Leave space for the bass. Second, don't overprocess it. A couple of strong moves usually beat 5 weak ones. Third, don't let the kick and sub fight each other. Place the hits with intention and keep the low end disciplined. Fourth, don't make the break too rigid. The ghost notes and little timing differences are part of the jungle feel. And finally, don't ignore arrangement. Change the break every few bars with fills, filters, mutes, or density shifts so the drop keeps evolving. If you want to push this further, try building alternate states inside the same rack. You can have one version that's dry and upfront for rollers, one that's washed and roomy for jungle vibes, and one that's crushed and aggressive for heavier drops. You can even set up a halftime shadow layer underneath the main groove, or duplicate a slice and process one copy clean and one copy dirty, then trigger them selectively for contrast. Those are great ways to make the rack feel deeper without rewriting everything. Here's the main takeaway. The goal is not just to use the amen break. The goal is to rebuild it into a flexible drum rack that supports the bass line, keeps the groove alive, and changes intelligently every few bars. If the rack feels strong in mono, leaves room for the sub, and gives you enough variation to create tension and release, then you've built something that actually works in real drum and bass production. So, as you build, think like a drummer, mix like an engineer, and arrange like a DJ. Keep the impact layered, keep the low end clean, and keep the energy evolving. That's how you turn a classic break into a proper rewind-worthy drop.